for Sheikh Shahid's program?
Yes, we did. Yes, we did. No class next Sunday. And then I'll do the same at the end of this this class, inshallah. We'll announce again to remind everyone.
Assalamu alaikum, Dr. Siddiqui. You can start whenever you're ready.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه الطيبين الطاهرين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. So welcome to this tafsir program. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us understanding of his message and also help us to follow it. We are going to study the 10th ruku' of Surah Al-Imran and starting with the ayah number 92. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لن تنالوا البر حتى تنفقوا مما تحبون وما تنفقوا من شيء فإن الله به عليم كل الطعام كان حلا لبني إسرائيل إلا ما حرم إسرائيل على نفسه من قبل أن تنزل التوراة قُلْ فَأْتُوا بِالتَّوْرَاةِ فَاتْلُوهَا إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ فَمَنِ افْتَرَى عَلَى اللَّهِ الْكَذِبَ مِنْ بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ فَأُولَئِكَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ قُلْ صَدَقَ اللَّهُ فَاتَّبِعُوا مِلَّةَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ حَنِيفًا وَمَا كَانَ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ In the name of Allah, the most merciful, the compassionate, you shall not attain piety unless you spend in charity of that which you love. And whatever you will give, Allah knows it well. All food was lawful to the children of Israel except what Israel made unlawful for himself before the Torah was revealed. Say, bring the Torah and read it if you are truthful. Then whosoever fabricates a lie against Allah, they are indeed the wrongdoers. Say, Allah has spoken the truth, so follow the religion of Ibrahim, the upright. He was not from the idolaters. This ayah, لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ, you shall not attain piety unless you spend. This is connected with ayah 84, 85, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that you say that we believe in Allah and that which is revealed to us, that was revealed to Ibrahim, Ismail, Ishaq, Yaqub, and the tribes, and was given to Musa and Isa. That means this is our belief. This is what Islam is. To believe in all the prophets of Allah, and all prophets, their message was the message of submission to Allah, which is Islam. And there is no other religion acceptable to Allah except the way of Islam, accept the way of submission. وَمَنْ يَبْتَغْ غَيْرَ إِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْ. Whosoever will seek other than Islam a way of religion, a way of life, it will not be acceptable from him. It will not be accepted from him by Allah. And he, in the end, in the last, in the hereafter, will be from among the losers. So that is the point that was emphasized. The belief, Islamic message is the message, is the culmination of the message of all the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then here in this section that we are going to study now, it is said, ye shall not attain piety unless you spend, unless you give charity. And charity of that which you love. And so it is religion is belief in the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the messages of all the prophets of Allah. And then it is in the practical way, of course, that is belief. In the practical way is you do the charity. So religion is love of Allah and the love of others, which is a summary of religion, emphasized again and again, Salat and Zakat, the connection with Allah and the connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is through the way of his prophets, through the belief that was given by the prophets of Allah, and the other is charity, birr. And birr is a comprehensive word which includes all the acts of goodness. Al-birr huwa ad-din. Birr is deen. As mentioned in Surah Al-Baqarah, ayah number 177, لَيْسَ الْبِرَّ أَن تُوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ قِبَلَ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ وَلَكِنَّ الْبِرَّ مَنْ آمَنَ. So birr is not only this, that you turn your face east or west, but birr is that belief, do the acts of charity, acts of devotion, and also moral uprightness. All of those things were mentioned in the ayah that we studied before, ayah number 177 of the previous surah, Surah Al-Baqarah. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is emphasizing that the real piety, you cannot achieve piety. You cannot become a pious person until you spend from that which you love. As was mentioned in Surah, in the other, in Surah Al-Baqarah, it says, وَآتَ الْمَالَ عَلَىٰ حُبِّهِ. And he gave the money out of, in spite of his love for it. So here is mentioned, حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ, until you give from that which you love. And of course, everybody loves money, loves what they have, their possessions. So from that, Allah says, from that, not all of it, but from that, you help the poor and the needy. You help the good institutions, your masjid, schools, and other places where the money is needed. So spending infaq fi sabilillah, the Quran emphasizes zakat, sadaqat, and then a general word is used, infaq fi sabilillah, spending in the way of Allah. And the way of Allah is the way of righteousness, the way of goodness. Infaq means spending, giving. So hatta tunfiqu mimma tuhibbun, until you spend from that which you love. And whatever you spend, and of course spending here is spending in the path of Allah, spending for good causes. So whatever you spend, anything you will spend, whatever you give, give more, give less, give openly, give secretly, whatever you spend, Allah is aware of that. How you give it? What is your intention? You want to give it? You give it for publicity, for show off? Do you give it to show your favor to the poor and the needy and to put them down? As was mentioned in Surah Al-Baqarah, that الَّذِينَ أَنفَقُوا وَلَا يُزْبِعُونَ مَا أَنفَقُوا مَنَّا وَلَا أَذَى. Those who give, but they do not remind the poor about their favors. They do not insult them. So all those ethics and the right way of spending, that should be done, because Allah is aware of everything. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ بِهِ عَلِيمٌ. Some people is give, but they do not follow the right way. But the giving in the right way. And whatever, of course, there is obligatory charity, which is zakat, that you must give. And then there is voluntary charity that you should give. And so that is all included in that. لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. So birr is this loyalty, the righteousness, the kindness, the charity. This can only, you can only achieve that once you become a charitable person, once you help others. So that is emphasized beside faith, beside belief, the way the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us to believe, you also have to do the acts of charity, acts of kindness. Then we come to ayah number 93. And in this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to a particular criticism that came from some of the people who were people of the book, the Jewish people or Christian people who were in Medina. They said to Muslims that you say that you believe in the Torah, you say that you believe in the teachings of the prophets of Allah, but you do not follow what the Torah say, especially in the food matters. They said to Muslims that you eat camel's meat, and the camel's meat was haram for Bani Israel. It's mentioned in the Torah. It is mentioned in the book known as the Book of Leviticus, and in the chapter 11, verse number 4, it says that you should not eat. It is forbidden for you to eat the camel's meat. And but Muslims are allowed to eat that. Actually, people enjoy that. And this was one of the main food of the people in Arabia. So you used to have lamb, and then you used to also have camel's meat. And it is permissible in Islam. It's halal. So they made an objection. And they said, how come you people say that you follow the prophets of Allah, but you are eating haram food, camel's meat? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explained that. And it is important that when people raise some questions, that you answer that. So Allah says that this is, go and read the Torah yourself. Torah doesn't say that Ibrahim alayhi salam and other prophets of Allah, they were forbidden from eating the camel's meat. The Torah say that? Fa'tu bit Torah tifatluha. Bring the Torah and read it yourself. If you are truthful, it doesn't say that. How come this happened? That it is mentioned in the Book of Leviticus that you should not eat that. The point is that this is something that Israel is the title of Yaqub alayhi salam. So, illa ma harrama Israelu ala nafsi. Yaqub alayhi salam is the one who made it forbidden upon himself. Now, scholars say it was because of some personal matter, maybe some sickness, some other difficulty, that he said that I'm not going to eat that. So it was Prophet's own preference. And later, people included that in the Bible. It is not the command of Allah. It is not mentioned. It is not from Allah. It is something that is interpolated, something added. So Allah did not say that you should not eat camel's meat, but it is something that has come from the people. So there are things in the biblical tradition that are added by people. It is a tafsir of some of their scribes, some of their rabbis, they added that. Allah says, everything according to the rules of Allah, whatever was there was allowed for people to eat, except what happened in this matter, it was Israel. Yaqub alayhi salam, he is the one, Jacob, he is the one who made it haram upon himself. Before the coming of Torah, because Torah came with Musa alayhi salam, and Musa alayhi salam is centuries after Yaqub alayhi salam. So you have Ibrahim alayhi salam, Ishaq alayhi salam, and then Ishaq's son is Yaqub alayhi salam, and then Yaqub's children are known as Bani Israel. The Bani Israel are the children of Yaqub alayhi salam, and one of the titles of Yaqub alayhi salam is Israel. So this is, and then after that, long time after that, came Musa alayhi salam and Harun alayhi salam. So in min qabl an tunazzala at-tawrat qul fa'tu bit-tawrat fatluha. Allah says, bring Torah and read it and show if there is anything says that Ibrahim alayhi salam, whose religion Islam is emphasizing, whose way of life Islam is emphasizing, that he is the one who said that you should not eat that. فَمَنْ افْتَرَى عَلَى اللَّهِ الْكَذِبَ وَمِنْ بَعْدِ ذَٰلِكَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ. So those who fabricate lie against Allah, they are indeed wrongdoers. So one should not add things to what Allah has forbidden. Whatever Allah has forbidden, that is what you... Even Yaqub alayhi salam did not say. It is not reported that Yaqub alayhi salam said that. So this looks like it is something that is added later. And that is what is emphasized. قُلْ صَدَقَ اللَّهُ. Allah says, Sadaq Allah, Allah speaks the truth. That's what we say whenever we recite the Quran, we say, Sadaq Allah, Allah has spoken the truth. So say Allah has spoken the truth and follow the religion of Ibrahim alayhi salam. فَاتَّبِعُوا مِلَّةَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ حَنِيفًا. Millah is religion and or the religious community. Both of these are interpretation of the word millah. So Millah is the religious community, the way of Ibrahim alayhi salam, the community of Ibrahim alayhi salam, and Ibrahim alayhi salam was Hanif. Hanif, as we explained before, was upright, not a deviant person. He was not following something from Allah and following something of his own or some other traditions. And he did not commit any shirk. وَمَا كَانَ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. Now, some of these, some of the people, they attributed things to Ibrahim alayhi salam that was shirk, that was polytheism. I mean, Jewish people, they said, we follow the way of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Christians said, we follow the way of Ibrahim. And the mushrikeen of Makkah, they used to say the same thing. The polytheists of Makkah, they said that he is our father. And the Quran emphasizes that Ibrahim was not mushrik. If there is anything of shirk, that is not the way of Ibrahim alayhi salam. وَمَا كَانَ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. So it's added many times in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned Ibrahim and then he said, حَنِيفًا وَمَا كَانَ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. حَنِيفًا, pure person, a straightforward person, non-deviant, deviant person, monotheist in the full sense, وَمَا كَانَ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. And he was not a mushrik. Now, after talking about Ibrahim alayhi salam, another thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, and that is in Mecca, there is Kaaba, the city of Mecca, and there is Kaaba. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that is the way of Ibrahim alayhi salam. That Islam emphasizes the respect of the Kaaba, and also Hajj, that is emphasized. So Allah says, إن أول بيت وضع للناس للذي ببكة مباركا وهدى للعالمين. إن أول بيت وضع للناس للذي ببكة مباركا وهدى للعالمين. فيه آيات بينات مقام إبراهيم. ومن دخله كان آمنا. ولله على الناس حج البيت من استطاع إليه سبيلا. وَمَنْ كَفَرَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ عَنِ الْعَالَمِينَ. Indeed, the first house of worship set for people was that at Bakkah, a blessed place and a guidance for all people. In it are manifest signs, the place where Ibrahim stood for prayer. Whoever enters it is safe. It is a duty unto Allah upon mankind to make pilgrimage to the house upon those who can afford the journey. And whosoever disbelieves, Allah is independent of all people. So first house, Awwal Bayt, that was set for people, that is established for people, that is the one in Bakkah. So first, let's look at the word first house. What is the meaning of first house? Does it mean that this is the first building, first structure on this earth? Some people have said that. Some scholars, some interpreters of the Quran, they say Kaaba is the first building, first structure that was placed on this earth. And they say it was there even before Adam came to Mecca. Before Adam and Hawa, alayhi wasalam, they came to earth, there was the building of the Kaaba. But this hadith is weak, is not strong. Although it is said by some people, but it is not a very strong hadith. So there are some other scholars who say Awwal Bayt means Afdal Bayt, the best house. And Awwal is used in that sense. So that is the priority of this house, that is the supremacy of this house, that is Kaaba is the most superior house, the most blessed house, the most the one that is the most beloved to Allah. Awwal Baytin. And this Bayt is not anybody living there. It is the Bayt for the people's worship. Wudi'a lin-nas. It is placed for people. Normally houses are for families. Some family lives there. So this house was not built for a family. It was built for people. So people come and do the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wudi'a lin-nas. And nas here means the followers of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Ibrahim is the one who built that house. Yarfa'u Ibrahim al-qawa'id min al-bayt wa Ismail. Ibrahim was raising the foundations of the house and his son Ismail with him. So this was done for the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah says, lalladhi bi Bakka, is the one that is in Bakkah. So Bakkah is another name for Makkah. And very often you find that in Arabic language, Ba sometimes is changed with Mim, or Mim is changed with Ba. Lazib or Lazim is used that in the Quran. So it is, you have Wudi'a lin-nas alladhi bi Bakkah. Bakkah is another name for Makkah. Some others say, Bakka is the place where the Kaaba is built. And Makkah is the city. The name of the city is Makkah. And the place where the Kaaba was established is called Bakka. So that's another interpretation. Some others say that in the Kuldanian language, the word for city is Bakka. And the Quran has used that term. Like you have Ba'ala Bakka. Ba'al Bak is the name of the city. So the city of Ba'al. So they call it Ba'al Bakka. So Bakka is the city. So this is one of the city. It's not just the only the place where the Kaaba is, but the whole city is that. So Lalladhi bi Bakka. And there is a very interesting thing is that this is the name that also occurs in the Psalms, in the Zabur of Dawood alayhi salam. It is mentioned here that blessed are those who dwell in your house. that means near your house, they are ever praising you. So there people are doing tasbih and tahleel. They are ever praising you. Blessed are those whose strength is in you. So they rely upon Allah, on the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baqa. So they do pilgrimage in Baqa, the valley of Baqa. So that is mentioned in the Psalms 84, verses 4 to 6. Actually, later it also mentioned that it is a dry valley, but there is a spring there, which is a reference to Zamzam. So water there in that place, they find water. So you have this reference, maybe this is one of the reasons that Quran is using here the word Bakka. Although Quran has mentioned Makkah also in Surah Al-Fatiha. So both names are mentioned in the Quran, and both are the names of the same city, city of Bakka or city of Makkah. So this is the house, Wadi al-Nasi bi Bakka, and it is Mubarak. It is a blessed place. And it is a place of guidance for the world. It is Mubarak because it's built by the hands of the prophets, Ibrahim alayhi salam, Ismail alayhi salam, and later even Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when there was a dispute going on among the Quraysh. He is the one who put the Hajar Aswad there in the wall. So by the blessed hand of the prophets of Allah. And it is a very ancient house, Al-Baytul Atiq. It was built more than 4,000 years ago now. And the prayers, those who pray there, the reward is 100,000 times more. So there is a blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Mubarak. And then there is Zamzam there, which is the water, very blessed water. It came from the feet of Ismail alayhi salam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave it to mother of Ismail alayhi salam, Hajra alayhi salam. And this water is very blessed water. Ma'u zamzam lima shuribala. And the Prophet said, zamzam is water for whatever purpose you drink it. You receive the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And another thing for the city of Makkah is that it is the city where our Prophet was born. The last Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was born there. So it is Mubarak. Mubarak in many ways. It's full of blessing. And Hudan lil Alameen, people from all over the world come there for every year. So millions and millions and billions of people, they have visited Kaaba and they visit. And it is something that is going on all the way, except like pandemic or sometime war, where it's not possible for many people to visit. So the number becomes small, otherwise it's crowded. It is always filled with people. Inshallah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring that gathering again there and give us the honor and give us the blessing to visit that house. So Hudan lil Alameen, it is a place from where the guidance goes all over the world. People come there to receive the blessing of Allah, and they go back and spread the message of Allah all over. Hudan lil Alameen, it is the guidance for all people. It is not for any particular race, for any particular tribe, for any particular nationality. It is for all people. Alameen, the whole world. So it is a place from where the guidance comes to all people. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فِيهِ آيَاتٌ بَيِّنَاتٌ. And in it, there are clear signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's blessing. So you have black stone, Al-Hajr al-Aswad, which is a stone of Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given that. So you have a sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the symbols of Allah's mercy and blessing. there is a stone there on which Prophet Ibrahim stood. So it had the footprints of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And it is there outside the Kaaba. One can see that. So that is a stone. We don't touch it or we don't kiss it, but it is there. It is it's a great historical thing that you look at it and you see the footprints of Ibrahim alayhi salam on it. The stone with the footprints of Prophet Ibrahim. It is a place of safety. وَإِجْعَلْنَا الْبَيْتَ مَثَابَةً لِلنَّاسِ وَأَمْنًا. We made the house a place of people coming and again and again and again. And also it is a place of safety. أَمْنًا. Especially at the time, the whole of Arabia, no place was safe and secure. The caravans were looted. People were killed here and there. There was chaos. There was no government, nothing. But still, even in that situation, Kaaba and surroundings were safe. It mentioned that somebody, even if he killed his father, and if you see that person in near the Kaaba, he would not do anything to him because of the reverence of Kaaba, because of the respect and honor of Kaaba. So it's a place of safety. And then also there is no vegetable there. There is nothing that grows in that land, especially at that time. Now they have put some trees and all those things, but there's still no fruits, no garden, no cultivation. So cultivation was not there. It is the valley without anything growing, anything, any vegetables, fruits, no fruit. But you will find all kind of fruits there. Tujba ilahi samaratu kulli shay. All fruits are there. And it has been even that old time when there was not that much transportation, all of these things. Even in the old days, they used to get all kind of things. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, so this is the ayat bayyinat. These are the clear signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this blessed city, in the blessed house, because of the blessed house. So hudan lil alameen, fihi ayatun bayyinat. In it, there are signs, manifest signs. Anyone who has eyes to see can see those signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Maqamu Ibrahim. And that is the place of Ibrahim alayhi salam, so standing. And that is the Maqam Ibrahim, where you have that stone from which he stood and built the Kaaba. And the people pray there. Ibrahim alayhi salam used to pray there. And all people pray. Maqam is the place of prayer. Maqam Ibrahim, the place of Ibrahim's prayer. وَمَنْ دَخَلَهُ كَانَ آمِنًا. And those who enter it, they are safe. Those who go to Kaaba, they are safe. And Allah says, وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ حِجُّ الْبَيْتِ مَنْ اسْتَطَاعَ إِلَهِ السَّبِيلَ. And this is a place of pilgrimage. Allah has made it obligatory upon the people to make pilgrimage to this house if they can afford the way. If they can afford the journey, man istata'a ilayhi sabila. So if people can afford it, can make journey, and they have enough money and they are healthy to take that journey, then they should make Hajj. And when the Prophet ﷺ recited that, somebody asked the Prophet ﷺ, "Akulla 'am ya Rasulullah?" Every year, O Messenger of Allah. And the Prophet ﷺ was silent. And then he asked again, and third time he asked, and the Prophet said, if I say, then it will become obligatory. So when I tell you something, then you just accept it. Don't ask this kind of question. So it is not obligatory every year, but one can go again and again. I mean, it's up to you to go. But one time, it is obligatory one time in life. وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ حِجُّ الْبَيْتِ مَنِ اسْتَطَاعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا وَمَنْ كَفَرَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ لِلْعَالَمِينَ. And those who deny, those who disbelieve, Allah does not need people. I mean, it is not that Allah wants you to come to visit the Kaaba because He is in need of you, or you bring anything to Allah, or you make Allah rich. Allah Himself is rich. Allah is independent. Allah is the one who gives. Allah does not want to receive anything. but Allah wanted for your own benefit to go and visit the Kaaba, because لَتَشْهَدُوا مَنَافِعَ لَهُمْ لَيَشْهَدُوا مَنَافِعَ لَهُمْ, so that you see and witness things that will bring you benefit. So Hajj brings many benefits to the people who go to Hajj, and it brings to the world the benefits. And this gathering is a very blessed gathering that takes place every year. And there you have millions and millions of Muslims from all over the world, of different nationalities and colors and races and languages and tribes, all of them. They come there and gather together to perform the pilgrimage. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it possible again for people to go there and visit that house. Make possible for us to go and visit that house, inshallah. So وَمَنْ كَفَرَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Allah saying that this is the way of Ibrahim alayhi salam, that Islam came to re-emphasize, to reinactivate the way of Ibrahim alayhi salam. وَمَنْ كَفَرَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ الْعَالَمِينَ. قُلْ يَا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ لِمَ تَكْفُرُونَ بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ شَهِيدٌ عَلَى مَا تَعْمَلُونَ. قُلْ يَا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ لِمَ تَصُدُّونَ عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ مَنْ آمَنَ تَبْغُونَهَا عِوَجًا وَأَنْتُمْ شُهَدَاءُ وَمَا اللَّهُ بِغَافِلٍ عَمَّا تَعْمَلُونَ. Say, O people of the book, why do you disbelieve in Allah's signs? And Allah is a witness of all that you do. Say, O people of the book, why do you prevent those who believe from the path of Allah, seeking to make it crooked, while you are the witnesses, and Allah is not unaware of all that you do? So again, going back and addressing the people of the book, the Quran says, why do you disbelieve in Allah's revelation? Signs of Allah, ayat here, is used in the sense of revelation. And you mentioned before that ayat are used in the Quran for the word ayah means signs, but ayat are signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the universe, as well as the signs of revelation. The message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, every verse of the Quran is an ayah, a sign of Allah. So لِمَ تَكْفُرُونَ بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ. Why do you reject, why do you disbelieve the revelation of Allah? And Allah is watching. You know that Allah is watching. Allah knows everything that you do. So you are in the sight of Allah. And everybody, whatever we do, we should be always conscious of that. Allah is shaheed. Allah is the one who is the watcher and witness. Witness everything that we do. So we should be always conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and do not think that Allah is ghafil. As it said later, وَمَا اللَّهُ بِغَافِلٍ عَمَّا تَعْمَلُونَ. Allah is not unaware of what you do. So it is not only for Ahlul Kitab, it's for all of us. We should be always conscious of that, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything that we do, and Allah is watching everything that we do, and we should be very conscious of that. And this is very important principle that keeps people on the right path. Luqman, when he was advising his son, he said, يَا بُنَيَّ إِنَّهَا إِنْ تَكُمْ إِسْقَالَ حَبَّةٍ مِنْ خَرْدَلٍ فَتَكُنْ فِي صَخْرَةٍ وَفِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَفِي الْأَرْضِ يَأْتِ بِهَا اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَطِيفٌ خَبِيرٌ. Oh my son, even if there is something as small as the mustard seed, or smaller than that, and somewhere hidden under a rock, in the heaven or on the earth, Allah knows it. Allah is subtle, Allah is aware. So everything, whatever we say, whatever we do, whatever even we think, Allah is aware of that. There is nothing hidden from Allah. So إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَخْفَى عَلَيْهِ شَيْءٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فِي السَّمَاءِ, mentioned in the beginning of this surah. Nothing is hidden to Allah in the heaven or on the earth. So Allah is shaheedun ala ma ta'amaloon. Allah knows very well whatever you do. O people of the book, why do you prevent people from the path of Allah? So first they were not believing, they were rejecting and disbelieving in the words. And not only that, but they were trying to prevent others from the path of Allah. لِمَ تَصُدُّونَ عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ مَنْ آمَنْ. Those who have already believed, you give them, confusing them, and also preventing them and making propaganda, spreading rumors against the Prophet. You're doing all of these things. Why? Because so that they do not believe what they believe. تَبْغُونَهَا عِوَجَا. And you want to make it crooked. That means the Quran came to clarify. Quran makes to make things obvious and clear. All the confusion that were there about the message of Allah, Quran has solved those problems and has clarified many things. But you want it again to be confused and crooked. تَبْغُونَهَا عِوَجَا. That you want to keep in the same kind of confusion that was there. And antum shuhada, you are supposed to be the witnesses. You are supposed to be the people who accept that and follow the way of Allah as given to us. So Allah is not unaware of what you do. It's again a reminder for the people that be aware and do not do things. Because, I mean, those who know, they have a greater responsibility to follow the truth. And do not become a hindrance for others to follow the truth. So follow the truth yourself and allow others to follow the truth and be an example. Give them the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa antum shuhada. So those of us who know, we have to become more responsible. We have to take our knowledge as our responsibility and bring people closer to the way of Allah. Not turning them away from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَا اللَّهُ بِغَافِلٍ عَمَّا تَعْمَلُونَ. Allah is washaheed and Allah is aware. Allah is not unaware of what you do. So it is important, a reminder for all of us to keep that in mind. And then finally, these two ayat of this this section. يا أيها الذين آمنوا إن تطيعوا فريقا من الذين أوتوا الكتاب يردوكم بعد إيمانكم كافرين وكيف تكفرون وأنتم تتلى عليكم آيات الله وفيكم رسوله ومن يعتصم بالله فقد هدي إلى صراط مستقيم. Or you who believe, if you obey a group of those who receive the book, they will turn you back as unbelievers after belief. And how can you be disbelieve while unto you are recited Allah's signs? And among you is His messenger. Whoever holds firmly to Allah is indeed guided to a straight way. So now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring and addressing the believers, Muslims, and telling, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O believers, you should keep on this path. Even though people are trying to mislead, even though people are trying to confuse, even though people are making propaganda and all kind of things that they say against Islam, against Prophet Muhammad, but you stay on the firm path, on the path of Allah. Otherwise, they will turn you into kafirs. They will turn you into disbelievers after you have already believed. يَرُدُّكُمْ بَعْدِ إِيمَانِكُمْ كَافِرِينَ. So be aware of that. You stay yourself. If they are not following the path, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aware of that. And they will respond to Allah. They are the one who give the answer to Allah. But as far as you are concerned, you stay what you understand the message of Allah. So if you follow them, if you listen to them, if you obey them, as the Quran says, "Utti'u fariqan min alladhina utul kitab." Again, remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala emphasized that there is a group that does that, misleading and confusion. There is a group that is there. "Fariqan min alladhina utul kitab yaruddukum." They will turn you back after your iman into kufr. "Yaruddukum ba'da imanikum kafirin." You have iman. You have accepted Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You accepted his book, his message. So how can you do that? وَكَيْفَ تَكْفُرُونَ How can you be kafir? How can you disbelieve? You are the one who receive reciting the ayat of Allah. You pay attention to the Quran. So recite the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you recite the ayat of Allah, and among you his messenger, you have seen the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know about the Prophet of Allah, you know about Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know about his seerah, his example, his teachings, all of this, and especially at the time when this ayat was revealed, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was there among them. So they were seeing him. وَفِيكُمْ رَسُولُ And they are the one, these eyewitnesses, they have reported to us about him. So we know him, we know his seerah through the eyewitnesses. وَأَنْتُمْ تُتْلَى عَلَيْكُمْ آيَاتُ اللَّهِ So you recite the book of Allah, the verses of the Quran, and you witnessing Rasul of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So how can you turn away after all this? It will be a shame. It will be terrible that after reciting the book of Allah and knowing the Prophet of Allah, you don't follow. You are supposed to be the followers. You have to be very loyal. And you understand your responsibility. And then Allah says, وَنْ يَعْتَصِمْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ هُدِيَ إِلَىٰ صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ And those who hold fast to Allah, they are the ones who are guided to a straight path. Now it's very interesting, you have the word يَعْتَصِمْ بِاللَّهِ Holding fast to Allah. In the Quran, and you have that in the ayah number 103, وَعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ So there is وَعْتِصَمْ بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ Holding fast to the rope of Allah. And then also in many places in the Quran, it said, I'tisam billah, holding to Allah. So I'tisam billah or I'tisam bihablillah. These are two expressions and they are both very important. There is slight difference in the emphasis. Essentially the same meaning, but there is emphasis. One is the emphasis in your personal relation with Allah, your love of Allah, your devotion to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you are connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's called i'tisam billah. This is holding fast to Allah. So holding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, each one of us, we have to do that. Each one of us, we have to be very connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So i'tisam billah. The second is i'tisam bihablillah. That is Allah's message, Allah's rules, Allah's commands, Allah's book, Quran, the Sunnah of His Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that's also i'tasimu bihablillah. This is the hablullah. About Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said about the Quran, huwa hablullah al-matin, huwa siratul mustaqim. Quran is the hablullah, the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is whatever Allah gives us. Whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us, we have to hold it very strongly, firmly. So follow the rules of Allah and also be connected to Allah. Have love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Itraf i'tisam billah and i'tisam bihablillah. But i'tisam bihablillah is also together. Wa'tasimu bihablillahi jami'an. So you are individually, each person has to be connected to Allah, but collectively, communally, you also have to be connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through His words, through His command, through His rules. So a whole community should do that. يَعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا All of you become connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by His rules, by His commands, and do not be divided. وَمَنْ يَعْتَصِمْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ هُدِيَ إِلَىٰ صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ So those who are connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are the ones who are guided to a straight path. The straight path is the path of Islam. Ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim. Show us the straight path. And the Quran emphasizes that. This is a straight path in which there is no crookedness. It is no confusion. It's very clear. And it is given by the prophets of Allah. Especially the last Prophet Muhammad, salawatullahi wasalamu alayhi. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the understanding of this message and keep us on the right path. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. Allah, keep us on the right path. So we can take some questions, inshallah.
Thank you, Dr. Siddiqui. Going back to the Torah, has the Torah also been revised in any way? Are there many editions of the Torah, as in the case of the Bible? Give us a little history about the Torah.
I mean, Torah is originally the message of Musa alayhi salam. So Musa alayhi salam, the message came to Musa alayhi salam, and they are the Jewish people, and they say the first five books of the Old Testament, the Hebrew Bible, they are the Torah. So they are, Hebrew Bible has many books, but one section, one part of the Bible is called Torah. And then there is another part of the Bible that's called prophets. That is the books that are attributed to various other prophets. And then there are books that are the books of history, books of other developed details. So you have Torah, Kutuvim, Navi'im. Torah, Navi'im, Kutuvim. Tanakh, they call it. T-N-K. So this is the development that happened, that it was not preserved in its original form. It was lost. And then people after that, they gathered books, put them together, various people. And sometime you have the various sources were putting together. So modern critical scholars of the Bible, they say that there are several revisions that have taken place. And things were added by, and they call it E source and J source and P source. So E force is those who emphasize Elohim. So they call it Elohistic source. And P source is the priestly source, that some priests added things in that. So these are redactors. These are different editors who edited them. And how did they find out? They find out because of the linguistic analysis. By linguistic analysis means that they see that what part are using more Eloh, and where part Eloh is not used, but there is Elohim is used. Or Yahweh, Yahwistic source. So different sources, because of the different words have been repeated. So they said these are different sources. And the priestly source that emphasizes laws and rules. So do you have different sources? That is, this is a critical scholarship that says that. That's why most of the educated and most of the knowledgeable people among the Christians and Jews, they recognize that these are not, these books are not in their original form. And they have had several editions and changes. Sometime, just like we are doing that, explaining the Quran, for example, we are doing the tafsir of the Quran, but we don't write tafsir in the Quran. We don't add in the text of the Quran our explanation. But this happened, that sometime in the Torah, the priests or the scholars, rabbinic sources, scholars, they added their interpretation. So you'll find that some of their own words in the text itself. So for example, the Torah speaks about Musa alayhi salam. Musa alayhi salam say that he was a great man, a great prophet, lived long time ago, and buried in such and such place. This will not come from Musa alayhi salam. Musa alayhi salam would not write that I'm a long time ago and I was buried in some place. He will not say that. So this must have come from the addition of some scholars, some priests who did that. Some of the names of the cities are mentioned. The cities did not exist at that time. Some places are added that were not there at that time. So historical analysis that tells us that these are later additions. So this is the situation. That's what the Quran says. This is what it says, that there are things that have been added. There are things that have been forgotten. certain things are not mentioned there. So Quran came to clarify these points, and some of the things have been also corrected.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Siddiqui, for that historical backdrop. I believe Brother Zafar Hadi wants to ask a question. Welcome to you, Brother Zafar. Please unmute yourself and ask your question.
Assalamu alaikum. I know that Quran mentions Jews and the Christian as the people of the book, but some of the scholars, they say that, you know, the amount of deviation they have now from their original religion when Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was there, so they can categorize them as kuffar. Is it right categorization to categorize them as a kuffar instead of like people of the book because of their deviation?
I mean, the Quran mentions the deviation, but it still calls them people of the book. So they are people of the book. Yes, Jews and Christians are the people of the book. Doesn't mean that they follow the book, or doesn't mean that whatever they do is all according to the book of Allah, or according to the way that the prophets taught. But most of it, I mean, there's a lot of things that are from Allah. Just like Bible, even though it has some changes, but we still call it book of Allah. So not everything there, but originally it was from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So yes, there is the Quran has mentioned, for example, some of the mistakes that were done by the Jewish people, and some of the mistakes that were done by Christian people. The Trinity, for example, is there mentioned in the Quran, but it's still called the people of the book. So Muslim scholars have no difference of opinion on that. That today, the Jews and Christians, they are people of the book. And but that doesn't mean that we agree with everything that they say. But we have many things, many similarities. We have many things that are common. And that's why the Quran says, Ya Ahlul Kitab Ta'ala Ula Kalimatin Sawa. People of the book come to a common word. So there are a lot of things that are common, are similar. And that's why there are certain things in our relations are emphasized more than our relations with the Hindus or Buddhists or our people of some other faiths.
Assalamu alaikum warahmatullah. Can I have a question?
Assalamu warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.
It's Dr. Saab and all the wonderful participants. I'm taking you a little bit off. There are a lot of questions being raised regarding the current COVID vaccine. There are some human cells involved. Did Fiqh Council studied that and have any opinion shared?
Yes, we have studied that, and a number of other people also have studied that. There are two vaccines that are approved by FDA, Federal Drug Administration, and the scholars, the medical people, medical experts and others, they say that Pfizer vaccine and Moderna vaccine, both of them have nothing of pork and nothing from the human cells. They are free of that. So they are permissible, they're halal. And even if these things are used, they are not used in their natural form. Even if there is pork, it is not in the natural form. It is also in its chemically changed, totally altered. There's something is that is not the total, not the substance, but some enzymes and things like that are taken from that. So we cannot, if there is a necessity, you can use it. But as far as the first two, and that is Pfizer vaccine and Moderna vaccine, they don't contain any of those things. So it is up to you, and you discuss it with your doctors, take the advice of the doctor, and then you take it. But as far as the halal, the permissibility is concerned, they are not, they don't contain what we know as something haram. So there is no haram substance in them, in these two vaccines. Others, we as they come out and we get more details, we will, inshallah, give the opinion on that. But at the present, the opinion of the scholars is that these two vaccines that are being used now, and people are taking them, and they are used all over the world now, especially here in America. They are going to be available for everyone. So it is, one can take them, but with that, with your medical advice.
So is it available on the FIC Council website? Can be shared?
Inshallah, I will put it on the website. Okay, there is a fatwa of AMJA, American Muslim Jurist Association. They have it on their website, but we'll have it on our website also.
Exactly.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Siddiqui. And no doubt these discussions will continue. So next, we will not have classes with Sheikh Shahid and Dr. Siddiqui next Sunday. So we're just going to take a short break. And then we will join classes again starting from Sunday, January 3rd, at the usual timings. So we will see, meet again at this class in this forum in 2021, inshallah, with safety and goodness. So follow ISOC on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And for complete details, updates, and login information, check the weekly newsletter. Stay safe, take good care of each other, check in with family and friends and neighbors who may be living by themselves. Dr. Siddiqui, may we join you for a closing dua?
We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless all of us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. Protect us from this virus, from this pandemic, and remove it from us, from all people, from the whole humanity, Allah. Allahumma inna nasaluka al-afwa wal-afiyah, wal-mu'afata al-da'ima, wal-fawza bil-jannah, wal-najata min al-nar. اللهم إنا نسألك موجبات رحمتك وعزائم مغفرتك والغنيمة من كل بر والسلامة من كل إثم والفوز بالجنة والنجاة من النار ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار اللهم ارفع عنا هذا الوباء اللهم ارفع عنا هذا الوباء اللهم ارفع عنا هذا الوباء رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وآله وأصحابه أتباعه أجمعين رحمتك يا ارحم الراحمين امين بارك الله فيكم
بارك الله عليكم